Sadevaki.
Sadevaki.
That Devaki Devi.
That Devaki Devi.
Sarvajaganivasa. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sustainer of all the universes. Matstani Sarva. Nivasa Bhuta. The womb of Devaki has now become the residence. Nitaram. Extensively. Na. Not. Reji. Became illuminated. Bojendra Gehe. Within the limits of the house of Kamsa. Agnishika. Iva. Like the flames of a fire. Rudha. Covered. Saraswati. Knowledge. Jnana Kole. In a person known as Jnana Kola. One who possesses knowledge but cannot distribute it. Yata.
Or just as.
Sati. So being. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Devaki then kept within herself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the foundation of the entire cosmos. But because she was under arrest in the house of Kamsa, she was like the flames of a fire covered by the walls of a pot, or like a person who has knowledge but cannot distribute it to the world for the benefit of human society. Purport. In this verse, the word Jnana Kala is most significant. Knowledge is meant for distribution. Although there is already much scientific knowledge, whenever scientists or philosophers awaken to a particular type of knowledge, they try to distribute it throughout the world, for otherwise the knowledge gradually dries up and no one benefits from it. India has the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, but unfortunately, for some reason or other, this sublime knowledge of the science of God was not distributed throughout the world, although it is meant for all of human society. Therefore, Krishna himself appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ordered all Indians to take up the cause of distributing the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita throughout the entire world. Yare deko tahe koho Krishna upadesha. Amar agyai guru hoya tar e desha. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Although India has the sublime knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Indians have not done the proper duty of distributing it. Now, therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement has been set up to distribute this knowledge as it is without distortion. Although previously there were attempts to distribute the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, these attempts involved distortion and compromise with material knowledge. But now the Krishna consciousness movement, without mundane compromises, is distributing Bhagavad Gita as it is, and people are deriving the benefits of awakening to Krishna consciousness and becoming devotees of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the proper distribution of knowledge has begun, by which not only will the whole world benefit, but India's glory will be magnified in human society. Kamsa tried to arrest Krishna consciousness within his house, Bojendra Gehe, with the result that Kamsa, with all his opulence, was later vanquished. Similarly, the real knowledge of Bhagavad Gita was being choked by unscrupulous Indian leaders, with the result that India's culture and knowledge of the Supreme was being lost. Now, however, because Krishna consciousness is spreading, the proper use of Bhagavad Gita is being attempted. What is required is that the true message of Godhead be made available to the people of the world. That allows the rectification of human society. That allows there to be an actual human civilization, not an animalistic civilization in the guise of being human. But there's two major obstacles to that. One is disinterest, but there's a deeper problem, and that is distortion. Because the message is being misrepresented, it has been misrepresented practically throughout the Kali Yuga. Krishna spoke the Gita in the beginning of the Kali Yuga. Impersonalists, Buddhists, Mayavadis of various sorts and disguises have misinterpreted Krishna's message in the Gita. Or they've substituted some other message. Or they've just promoted materialism in which there should be no messages from God. You just listen to your own dictates of your own mind or the dictates of the market economy. So, but the real root of it is this impersonalism, this impersonalistic misinterpretation of what Krishna spoke. If the brahmanas simply did their duty of studying properly the Shastra and teaching the Shastra as it is, without distortion, to the people, then human society could be maintained intact. But they didn't do that. The Brahmins failed at their duty. From the onset of Kali Yuga, they failed to properly study the Vedas. They listened to misinterpretations, and they passed those misinterpretations on to everyone else. So this Mayavad misinterpretation of Krishna's own words is what has ruined India. And they can wave the flag of Bhagavad Gita. They can wave the flag of Dharma. That is called Dharma Dwaja. There's a Sanskrit word for hypocrite. Someone who is waving the flag of religion, but he's not representing the true principles of religion. If you take the words of Bhagavad Gita and misinterpret them to mean that Krishna doesn't mean surrender to me, he means surrender to the impersonal. Ma me kam sharanam vraja. You take shelter of me alone. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the origin of everything, and everything originates from me. Matak paratanam nanyat kinchidasti. There isn't anything else superior to me. No impersonal, personal, or in between, or neither. Anything is superior to me. I am the ultimate supreme, and I am talking as a person. Surrender to me. Me Shrinu, hear from me. Krishna says me how many dozens of times in the Gita. And then we want to interpret. Krishna doesn't mean really me. He means the impersonal behind me. The reality behind the mask. The word persona is the Greek word from which the English person comes. But the Greek word persona means mask. The impersonalists have the idea that personality is a mask. It's a facade, and the reality is impersonal. So the Greeks also were impersonalists. At least their language is manifesting this impersonalism. This impersonal misinterpretation has ruined the message of Godhead, has ruined India. Therefore, India can't represent itself anymore properly. Prabhupada is giving hope in the form of Bhagavad Gita as it is. If Bhagavad Gita as it is distributed, if it's studied, if it's taken to heart, then India can be saved, otherwise it can't. It looks practically too late to save it, because the young people have lost almost all interest in Dharma. They're interested in the latest film songs, in Michael Jackson and whoever else is more popular now. So, what's his name? Anyway. They're interested in popular culture, in becoming just like the Western young people. They don't want anything to do with anything dharmic. The older generation, they still go to the tirthas, they still do their pujas,
although they're ignorant, at least they're going through the motions. But the young generation doesn't want this ignorant dharma. They'd rather have no dharma. The rest of the young people, intelligent people in the world, don't have this Hindu dharma. What do we need it for? It's useless, and it is useless. Without Bhagavad Gita as it is, Hinduism is not worth anything. We don't consider ourselves Hindus. We are devotees of Krishna. Hinduism is useless. It's a hodgepodge of nonsense ideas and superficial practices. The message has to be heard and taught purely. Otherwise, it'll just advance the cause of materialism. Shankaracharya has done great service to the advancement of the materialistic Kali Yuga by undermining the last leg of religion, truthfulness, by substituting a false interpretation of Krishna's own words in the Gita, by relativizing the truths of the Bhagavatam, relativizing the idea of personality of Godhead to just Saguna Brahman, some, you know, relative reality, not the ultimate. But the Bhagavatam and the Gita, Matak Paratanam Nanyat, there is nothing superior to me. That is Krishna's own opinion, and it is confirmed by the sages who speak in the Bhagavatam. In this case, Sutta Goswami, Krishna's tu, Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And Paramatma and Brahman are simply his subordinate aspects. The impersonal may be there, but the impersonal is subordinate to the personal. So we have two problems. People who have some knowledge are reluctant to share it. And the other problem may be that their knowledge is useless and distorted anyway. What they have shouldn't be distributed. But sometimes you have the problem that people have the right knowledge, but they don't want to distribute it. India traditionally didn't have much to do with the outside world. There were technological reasons for that. Transportation was not easy. You couldn't just jump on an airplane and fly to Paris or Moscow. It was practically impossible for an Indian to travel to the Western world. And it was also against the dharma. For a sannyasi to cross the ocean, for a Brahmin to cross the ocean, he would lose his caste. You know? A sannyasi, you know, would be considered a reject. And a Brahmin would be considered no longer a Brahmin if he simply stepped across the ocean. Water took a boat across the ocean. Not allowed in the Vedic culture, even if there was transportation available. You could take a boat ride. You could go from Calicut to Rome. Some businessmen risked the journey. It was done. There were Christians from Syria in southern India in the first century AD. There were businessmen going back and forth. So it was possible, but a Brahmin would not dare to do it, to get on a boat and travel to the Western countries. He would lose his caste. Even today, sannyasis are not supposed to travel. They do at the risk of losing their status, because they find ways to do it anyway. Prabhupada took the risk to leave India, where his godbrothers and other Vaishnavas did not. Prabhupada saw the need to distribute Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, to the whole world, not just save your own community. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, is not only for the Bengalis. But many of the Bengali devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have never been able to understand that. In fact, they kept many of, when you go to Mayapur, you'll see it, and you go to Bengal, that many Bengali Vaishnavas cannot, not all, but many, cannot tolerate the idea that foreigners can also be devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They just will not accept. They refuse to associate with the foreign devotees. Refuse to give them any respect, because they deny that these mlechas can actually be proper Vaishnavas. They think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is only for the Bengalis. But that's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion. His intention is that his glories be spread in every village, town, and village throughout the world. Chaitanya Bhagavat may not be exactly those words, but Priti Viti Ache Yata Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachar Hoibe Murnam. In every town and village, Priti Viti, not Bengala, Bangalate in Bengal, but Priti Viti. In every town and village in the world, Prachar Hoibe Murnam, my name, the name of Gauranga, will be distributed. And that Prabhupada did that. The name of Gauranga is being heard in Scotland and Mongolia. And Prabhupada did that. He understood the actual mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the actual intention and purpose of the Lord. He was not sticking to the prejudice that this is not for the outsiders. Prabhupada didn't see any division, insider, outsiders. And he saw the need to distribute the undistorted message, to keep it pure, not to compromise. Prabhupada never compromised on Krishna's philosophy. He went to New York in the middle of the anti-war agitation, Vietnam War. Young people were all against war. And Prabhupada preached the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is telling Arjuna to stand up and fight. And the young men and women in New York were complaining. Why is Krishna telling his devotee to fight? War is bad. Violence is bad, period. But Prabhupada stuck to his principles and would not compromise. Krishna tells Arjuna to fight. Fighting is required. Kshatriya fights for a good reason. Despite the unpopularity of such an idea at that time and place, Prabhupada did not compromise. Rather than make a popular presentation that would attract many followers, he stuck to the truth. And then he got good followers, even if less of them. So the two things, the message has to be spread. Someone has to see through the prejudice that the world isn't ready for it. The world can't take it. Prabhupada made the world ready. Someone could have argued, not that this actually happened, but a well-intentioned friend of Prabhupada could have told him back in 1960-62, why are you working so hard to translate this Bhagavatam into English? Who will read it? Nobody's interested in this literature, especially in the Western countries. Why don't you write something that people will be interested in instead? But Prabhupada, if he had ever received such advice, he didn't listen to it. He went ahead and wrote the translation of this book that didn't have any audience. Then he carried those books with him in a trunk to New York City. And where there was no audience, he created his audience. A great author creates his own audience. He doesn't worry, who's going to read the book. He presents such a book that people will change their mind and decide to read it, even who had no interest in the subject. So that's the potency of Bhagavatam, Gita, as it is. We don't have to have material considerations of who will accept. They will people, sincere people will accept if we present the truth without compromise and not be shy to present it. So the analogy is given here. Devaki bearing the embryo of Krishna within her womb was shining from within. Just like a pot that's covering a flame. The flame cannot be seen because it's hidden inside the pot. And then a second analogy, just like a person who has knowledge but doesn't share it. He's called Jnana Kala Iva. Jnana Kala, a miserly person with knowledge. He's knowledgeable, but he's being a miser by not sharing his knowledge. Who has the knowledge of Krishna consciousness? Everyone who's heard from Prabhupada and accepted. Every devoted member of this ISKCON movement has this divine knowledge. And if we don't preach, then we're being Jnanakala. If we don't share this knowledge with others, we're being misers. We're satisfied that ourselves are saved, and we don't work hard to save others, then we're misers. We're selfish. That's Shudra mentality. We claim the prestige of being Brahmanas by our Vaishnava initiation. We wear the thread, we do our pujas. But if you don't preach, then you're a miser, you're not a Brahmana. Kripana, not Brahmana. We have to share according to our capacity, in whatever way we can. Maybe we can't run around the world, maybe we can't sell books, we just can't do it. But in some capacity, we have to be sharing this knowledge. Otherwise, we're selfish and we're miserly. Hare Krishna. Okay. So, any questions or comments? Gabi, you're from?
In several places of his purpose, even in the preface of the first canto, Prabhupada writes the glory of India.
Yes. He's addressing his audience. He's thinking, a lot of Indians are going to read this book, so I should make them, enthusiastic about they're attached to their India. So this will make India glorious. India has a glorious history and tradition, and everybody, most of the Indians want to reject it. Want to forget it. So, he's by saying that, he's encouraging, but he's also pointing hypocrisy. This is how you can make, you want India to be glorious. It's not going to be glorious by building atomic bombs. It's going to be glorious by distributing Srimad Bhagavatam, not by distributing guns. Yeah. Building airplanes and selling them to some terrorist country. Yeah. I don't think India does that, but they're building helicopters and planes and selling them to Brazil or someplace. But that's not going to make India glorious. They should spend take that defense budget and use it for distributing Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada is encouraging them, but at the same time challenging them by saying that. You want India to be glorious? Fine. Preach Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam purely. Then India will be glorious. And then we'll all wave the Indian flag. If the Indians get up and start distributing Bhagavatam, we'll be glad to wave the flag for them. We'll put up flags and congratulate them. Yes?
Many flags, so many flags.
Yeah. Yes. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, for preaching, he was trying to encourage the English people to become interested in Lord Chaitanya's movement. So he was preaching, God save the king. On the king's birthday, he was putting up banners and pictures of King George, one of the Georges, I don't know which one, Edward, King Edward, whoever it was. In the Gaudiya Math, in Mayapur. They were celebrating the king's birthday. But that was to encourage the British to also join. Anything else?
I have some side of questions about this mission of Shankaracharya. I've heard from his famous verses from Padma Purana that one of the purposes was to increase the population of the earth, and I could not understand what is the reason. How?
Especially the population of Varna Sankara. Because the Mayavadi philosophy actually undermines the regulative principles. God can do anything he wants. He can eat chicken.
We're not God.
We're all God. This is Mayavadi idea. And then, why not eat chicken? Why not indulge in illicit sex? You're God anyway. You can do whatever you want. Krishna did it. Krishna had girlfriends. He had running around with other men's wives. I can do it too. That's what the Mayavadi philosophy leads to. It leads to illicit activities, breaking of all regulative principles, because it breaks down all distinctions, including regulative principles. So in that way, the establishment of the Mayavada doctrine helps undermine Dharma and increase unwanted population. And it's done it. It's done it very effectively. Hinduism has become an empty shell. People just go through the motions of some rituals. Brahmins don't perform proper Garbhadhan samskara anymore. But they do, even the strict Brahmins. They have a Garbhadhan ceremony once at the time of marriage. you know, some rituals done, and then they don't perform any samskara again. And they have unwanted children, thanks to Shankaracharya. Yeah. You know, Mayavad philosophy means you lose all your intelligence and you become, you know, like animals.
So the Muslim rulers destroy the whole culture of India.
Yes.
And if a Hindu or a Brahmin used to worship with the Lord, they used to put tax on him. And that is why this thing got distorted.
No, but that was later. The Indian culture was already rotten. The Muslims would have never been able to take over India if it hadn't become rotten from inside. The impersonalists ruined it first. The Buddhists and the Mayavadis ruined it, and then the Muslims walked in. And then when the Muslims became weak, the British, the Portuguese and the British came. Yeah. But the Indians made themselves weak by adopting this impersonalism. They gave up their dharma and substituted something false for it. Buddhism was popular for 100 years, and then after that, Shankaracharya's Mayavad. And that made India corrupt and weak. And then the foreigners could just walk in, practically, and take over. And now they're walking in the form of the Sony company and the others. They're just taking over India. You know, Microsoft and Sony are the new conquerors of India. You know, and MTV. And this is the worst conquest of India. Complete. Dharma is almost completely wiped out. Okay. Anything else? Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.